Without further ado, I want to hop into the topic today. I feel like at Promised Land, if we're not talking about everything, especially those hot topics that are on social media, on TV, at school, at work, or, you know, if we're not, if the Bible and if the church is not able to handle or talk about every issue, then we should just close the doors and go home and quit. The good news is that Jesus is able to handle anything and everything, and he's here for all of us. And so I could do a lot of research and dig and think and ponder and pray and all of that about this idea of transformation and transgenderism. But instead, I have found someone that actually has gone through it. And he's here today to talk about that. So would you please welcome Walt Heyer to come speak to us at Promised Land today. Welcome.
Hello, Promised Land, huh? All right.
Man, Robin, I'm so glad you're here.
It's my pleasure to be here. Wow, this is great.
Walt has energy.
Yeah.
He's ready to go. He's 81 years old.
Oh.
Come on.
Yeah.
Or young.
Something like that.
Yeah.
That just means there's more sand out of that thing than there is left in it, you know?
So what do you think about San Marcos so far?
I love San Marcos. Yeah, this is great. I mean, I used to live in Irving, Texas. And my mom actually was born in Garland. I don't know where that is, but
yeah,
not far from
up
here.
Up there, yep.
Somewhere. So I got a little bit of that Texas blood in me.
You got your cowboy boots on.
I got these in Cody, Wyoming in 2004. I love them. They fit like a glove. And
they look
I
good.
Sleep with them, actually. My wife doesn't like it, but what the hey.
Yeah, so we are glad to have Casey with us as well. Casey Heyer, glad to have you.
You know, this May will be 25 years we've been married.
Wow.
That's
awesome.
Huh?
Congratulations.
Yeah. So
that's another whole chapter. Actually, we're going to try to get as much as we can from Walt in the next few minutes. And we did pretty good in the first service.
Yeah.
But he has written 7 books, and he brought some of them out in the foyer. So today is the conclusion of today. If you'd like to get more information from his personal story or maybe this topic in general, he has a great options out there for you. So we've just gotten to know each other over the last couple of days and on the phone. And I called them yesterday because they were coming into town. And we had already arranged for dinner last night.
Right.
And you know, you guys are driving. You've been driving for 2 days. They drove from North Carolina over here to be with us today.
Yeah.
And I just thought, you know, you're 81. You're driving all day in a car.
Yeah.
Like, do you just want to go sleep at the hotel?
Yeah.
So I said, would you like to go to dinner? And his response was, are you trying to get out of dinner tonight?
Come on, man. Let's
no,
go.
Let's go. Let's go get some sushi.
Yeah, you got it.
So, just a great personality, funny, healthy, strong, balanced, beautiful marriage from what, you know, we can see. And it's just great to have you here. Great to know you.
This is exciting. I mean, we're going to deliver a message. Something's going to happen good for people in here today.
Yeah.
I mean, the Lord is here. Things are going to happen.
Yeah.
We're going to learn some things. And we're going to have more fun than we should be allowed to have. And I'm here with my smoking hot trophy wife.
Come on.
I mean,
let's go.
Come on, guys. Doesn't get no better than that. All right.
So we're going to talk about technical things.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about spiritual things.
Yep.
And we're going to answer some questions that I think a lot of people want to ask, but they're too embarrassed to ask.
Yeah.
I'm going to put you on the spot today.
Yeah. Good.
But the main thing we want to do is just reveal Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is the answer.
Well, I wouldn't be here without Jesus.
Yeah.
I'd have been dead, drunk, whatever, you know, but he snatched me up out of the gutter, saved my life. So he saved my life so I could be here today.
Amen.
That's what it's about. My redemption and restoration is so I could be here today talking to this fine young man here.
All right. Well, okay, so why don't we hop into it? Well, we're going to go way back in time.
Okay.
75 years, 70 whatever.
Yeah, 77 years.
Let's go back 77 years. What was little Walt like?
Yeah, there's still a marble or two left up there that can remember that far back. So I was 4 years old. And my dad was an avid fisherman, and he would drop me off at Grandma's house. And Grandma was, she made clothing. That's why she earned her money. And Grandma had her apron and a cigarette and a half pint of whiskey usually in her apron.
All right.
She liked her little drink. And so Grandma was fine. You know, she was sweet. But she decided that she was going to make me a purple chiffon evening dress and put me in it and tell me how cute I was. And so, you know, the message here that, and I've learned a lot over 77 years, and that I've learned one thing, that when you take a young boy 4 years old and you put him in a purple dress, you're telling that young boy there's something wrong with him as a boy. And I can tell you something else, too. What she did, put me in, bless her heart, you know, I don't blame her. She didn't know what she was doing. She doesn't know the consequence, so I'm not coming down on Grandma. But what she did when she put me in that purple dress was psychological and emotional child abuse, pure, plain, and simple. And to demonstrate that that's true, if it wasn't, why am I still talking about it today? 77 years later. You know, things that are benign and don't hurt people don't last 77 years. That was destructive.
That's such a good point. So you started enjoying that. I mean, you thought that was, you liked the affirmation of that.
I mean, who doesn't like to be affirmed,
yeah,
right? She wouldn't affirm me as a little boy in a cowboy boots, tore up jeans. I was a dirty, scruffy little rotten kid probably, yeah, you know. And so she put me in that dress, and I was like golden, you know. I was cool. And so, you know, I remember early on, you know, this went on in a secret. She wouldn't tell my parents this was going on. And anytime there's a secret, we all know that there's something wrong if there's a secret, right? Even the person knows it's not right. But I remember going home at night after those times being out there on the weekend and trying to go to sleep, and I had an older brother. And he would lay down in bed in the same room, you know, and he'd be asleep in about 2 seconds, you know. And I'd lay there for 2 hours weeping sometimes and crying, trying to figure out, well, why, what's going on? Why doesn't Grandma like me as a boy, or what's with this whole thing? You know, because what's happening to a four-year-old is you're actually changing the way he thinks about himself. There's a real deconstruction, dehumanizing process has taken place that's so unhealthy.
Yeah.
And you know, we all of us here, I don't care whether you're online or where you are listening to this, need to know that putting young boys in a dress or girls, you know, tomboys, no big deal. I don't, you know, to me that's kind of cool, but you're like putting a boy in a dress and telling him he can become a girl. It's a false out lie. Mm-hmm. Can't happen.
Yeah, well, I think there's always, people growing up, they experiment with different things, but they're just kids.
Yeah.
And they're just having fun. They're just doing different things, playing house and all that kind of stuff. But yours actually went to this next level, yeah, where your grandma was in it for several years. And then how did that interact with the rest of your family?
Yeah, well, for 2.5 years, it was a secret. But I got so used to that affirmation that I wanted that when I got home. Because I, you know, so I took the purple dress, put it in a brown paper bag, took it home, put it in my bottom dresser drawer, thinking, well, I'd put it on, and then I'd kind of remembered all those affirmations that Grandma was giving me. And so my mom found the dress. And then my mom says, well, where'd this come from? And I said, well, your mom made it. And then, man, the house exploded. Because when Dad found out what Grandma had done to his boy, he was not a happy camper. And so Dad was upset. I could never go back to Grandma's again without everybody being with me, and so it caused a huge rift, and I felt like I was responsible for the rift that went on because I broke the secret. So it's sort of like, geez, my fault. You know, I should have kept the secret. But the dress disappeared, and then Dad, in his wisdom, not knowing, keep in mind, this is like 1946. He didn't know what to do, so he decides that he's going to sort of, like a blacksmith would take steel and put it in the furnace, you know, and take it out and hit it with a hammer. Well, he was hitting me with a hardwood floor plank to try to shape me into a man that he expected me to be, you know, as a little kid.
So he's physically beating you.
With a hardwood floor plank, yeah, as part of discipline. You know, yeah, he didn't do it just routinely, but if I did the slightest thing wrong, you know, he'd have me drop my pants and he'd hit me on my bare butt and I'd have welts on it. And sometimes he'd hit me down on the leg. And I remember screaming bloody murder. And I thought, if I was going to get Dad to stop, I had to stop crying. And I remember one time he starts hitting me and I just gutted it and I did nothing. I didn't make any sound, didn't whimper or anything. And he actually stopped. And I don't know why, but that stopped him. And so, you know, then the next process was his brother, adopted brother, Uncle Fred. And Uncle Fred, when he heard that I'd had been wearing the purple dress, then he decided that I was fair game to be sexually molested. And so stop and take this in, because the purple dress, the hardwood floor plank, and the sexual abuse. If we take the purple dress out of the equation, there's no hardwood floor plank and there's no sexual molestation. Do we get that? Can we make those connections that things happen? And we here, my wife and I, we've talked to thousands of people through email and personally. Their stories are the same. This is not a one-off story.
Yeah.
This happens all the time. 70% of the people that come to us for help because they went through this and regret it were sexually abused.
Yeah. So you were holding on to that abuse and all of that ugliness, all that darkness as a teenager.
Yeah.
Early 20s. At the same time, though, you were thinking, you know, kind of help us out here. You're thinking maybe I should keep dressing up as a woman. You did dress up as a woman. Like, at what point did you start crossing over yourself?
I had this tremendous conflict. I call it, I had a radio playing in my head saying, you're a girl, you need to, you know. So this was going on 24 hours a day, you know, anytime. But I was a guy, and so I had this tremendous conflict. And so at some point in time, there was this Christine Jorgensen during the 50s that came out that was transsexual. Changes, and I thought, oh, that must be me, because there's no other voice out there talking. Nobody opposed it. Nobody was talking. There was no Walt Heyer saying, don't do this. Yeah. The bridge is out. You're going to go over the cliff, and it's not going to be good for you. So I sort of believed that's who I was without any other information in this vacuum of good information. And so then I believed that was me, and I began to think, you know, and I remember actually praying at the time as a young boy, because my grandfather was a pastor, and, you know, I was a believer, but I was struggling from sexual abuse. You know, believers can be sexually abused and struggle.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you had that brokenness inside, yes, and in your mind, you're thinking the solution to that is I will become a girl, or I'll just dress like it.
I thought I should change to being a girl, but what all that was at that time, and this is what's so interesting, is that what happens over time, what you learn, what consequences. And I realized that identifying is the picture. They can put the picture back up.
Yeah, put the picture up. Yeah, there you go.
Identifying as Laura Jensen, what that really was, wasn't Laura Jensen. That wasn't a female. That was an image of somebody hiding a tremendous amount of pain. Mm. From sexual abuse. That right there represents pain. That's not a woman.
Yeah.
That's a man hiding behind a woman because of pain.
Okay, let's shift to the technical part just for a minute. So you went to a counselor or a doctor or somebody.
Yeah.
They said, here's some hormones and here's some, you know.
Right. I went to one of those gender specialists. And if you ever hear of a gender specialist, whatever you do, run the other way. Do not go in. Go somewhere else. Because they are the most dangerous people to somebody who's struggling with issues during their childhood. They will destroy them, because they do, and we get all the emails from the people who've been through it long term. We had somebody at 40 years after transitioning write us and say, I just found Jesus. 40 years. Wow. She'd been living as a man, and she's detransitioning at 40. Wow. So what we need to know is that we have, you know, these things in our life. And this transgender specialist told me that I needed hormones and surgery to resolve the things in my past. I told him what happened. So in his wisdom, the way you treat sexual abuse and physical abuse and being cross-dressed is by cutting off body parts and taking hormones. Now, if we're sitting here today, this sounds more like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to fix somebody by mutilating them, cutting off body parts. Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. This is, we need Jesus. We don't need a surgeon whacking away our stuff.
Right.
Right?
So, you clap. I mean, that's fine.
It's okay to clap. Makes me feel good.
Everyone's nervous. I mean, we're talking about
affirmation cutting here, so you can clap.
Okay. So, so that happens.
Yeah.
You go through surgery.
Yeah.
And you become Laura Jensen.
And I identify as Laura Jensen.
Yeah. You identify as Laura Jensen. And does that fix you?
No. Of course. You know, You learn. I started going to psychologists as Laura going, what's going on? And they started saying, well, the reason you did this is because you were an alcoholic, you're a drug addict, or you had this issue or you had that issue. Nobody really, really wanted to address this. What happens with people who are sexually abused or physically abused or emotionally abused. So I finally realized that therapists are struggling themselves in many regions of the country to deal with this idea of transgenderism. There's something that I want to make sure we understand. Nobody in the history of mankind, no surgeon, no doctor, no hormones, no nothing, has ever changed a man into a woman or a woman into a man. It doesn't happen. Biologically, scientifically, medically, no one has ever become from a man, become a woman, or a woman into a man.
Okay, here's the technical parts. Okay, so we all watch TV, we all see online somebody like Bruce Jenner become Caitlyn Jenner.
Yeah.
And he's airbrushed and glamorous looking,
yeah.
And the person interviewing him talks about this, and everything looks like it's a solution and it's finished and he's now a woman. But what you're saying is he's still a man.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us know this is common sense.
Yeah.
But the secular world is telling us, no, technically he's now a woman.
Yeah.
Because of surgical things, hormones,
yeah.
Whatever. But scientifically, biologically, that person is whatever gender they were born with.
Yeah.
Surgery does not change that.
Right.
It mutilates, it tears apart, it changes. And just to get to the nitty-gritty,
yeah.
Those organs don't function.
Not after they mutilate them.
Yeah. Either way you go, male, female, female, male, it's not like they put something on or off,
no,
and all of a sudden you are
can't
that person.
It work. It's, you know.
And that organ doesn't make you who you are either. You know, it's a chromosome thing. It's down to the cellular level, and it's something that God did at the very beginning.
Who makes you who you are is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Not some surgeon. Not some doctor, not taking hormones. Jesus Christ makes you who you are.
Okay, nobody. So let's get into that part of the story. So at, you know, about 3 years, you said, or so into your story of identifying as Laura,
right.
You start seeking out spiritual help.
Right.
And one of the people advising you said, I know a pastor of this
right.
certain church. Tell us that story.
Yeah. Well, I was going to a psychologist in Pasadena, California, Fuller Seminary, and Dr. Dennis Guernsey, and he said, I've got a friend who is a pastor of a church not far from where you live, and I know you're kind of interested in going back and kind of connecting with Jesus. So I'm going to call the pastor and let him know you're coming. I'm going to tell him that you're trans, you know, trans whatever. And I said, cool, you know, I'll go there. So I showed up as Laura, like that. Showed up as Laura. I signed the little welcome book, you know, put my address down, and the ladies surround me. And I was really welcome there. I mean, the women got around. We sat in the church, and I was sitting next to the pastor's wife and listened to the message. And so I thought, well, this is going good. And after the service is over, you know, they had donuts there. So I got donuts and coffee.
All right.
I know you don't have donuts here, but, you know.
So well,
I just wanted to bring that up.
Can I just want to say, if you serve on our, if you serve, you get breakfast tacos. All right.
You know, I've
bonus.
I've never had a taco for breakfast. I'd rather have a donut with a coffee.
No,
okay?
No.
Sorry
Come
about
on.
That.
Okay.
It's not a,
okay. Let's go back to, all let's right. go back to this other church.
What can I say? So anyway, you know, I signed in and I thought, this is cool. I'm leaving. I go home. I'm back at my little condo, and some about mid-afternoon, I see a car pull up, and gee, the pastor got out that was just speaking. I thought, this is like so cool. He's coming to tell me how fantastic I am. And so he's walking down the walkway, and he knocks on the door and opened the door up, takes about two steps in. He looks at me and says, we don't want your kind in our church. I started laughing, and I'm going, really? What kind do you want in your church?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I thought it was the most absurd thing anybody could say. The church is for broken people, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, that's
right.
Right?
This is the place of redemption, restoration, and a new life in Christ.
Yeah.
We come here because we're broken, not because we're fixed.
Right.
All right? And so,
amen.
You know, I thought it was hilarious. I obviously didn't go back to that church, but the next time I decided to go to church, I went on Wednesday and went to the church office and said, can I talk to the senior pastor before I go to church on Sunday? And it was Jeff Farrar. His brother is Steve Farrar, is at a church up here. He's authored several books. Point Man, I think, is one of them. And so Steve was in the office, and I went in and I said, Jeff. And I went in and said, hey, Jeff, you know, I used to be Walt. I'm Laura. Went through this whole thing. Are you going to try to change me back to Walt? That's all I want to know. And can I come to church here? He said, absolutely, you can come to church here. And I said, my job isn't to try to change you. My job as a pastor is just to love you and see what the Lord's going to do with it. All right? And look what happened.
Amen. So what did that look like? How did he pastor you through that?
Well, Jeff is really kind of a crusty guy, you know, kind of a junkyard dog kind of guy. He's very outspoken. And he started taking me to breakfast, going to lunch, took me over to his house, met his mom, met people. He's introducing me to everybody. And I think, this guy's nuts. I mean, I'm scaring all the kids and women, you know. And so I asked him one time, I said, Jeff, why are you doing this? He said, I am going to find out what the heck makes you tick. I got to know, because this is like so foreign to me that anybody would do this to their body and go through this. You know, he's very straightforward with me.
Did people know something was different about you? I mean, how did you pull off the woman thing? Did you?
You know, I don't know. It's,
I mean, look pretty good there.
If somebody knew, they were never going to say anything, right?
Okay.
I mean, yeah. My friend said my pronouns should be wacko, but
wow,
I thought that was pretty good. And so, but I people are very kind, and, you know, they won't say anything if they see something. So
you're going to this church. He's taking you around. He's calling you Laura. He's just interacting with you as Laura, but he knows what's going on.
Sure.
Tell us about when things really changed and you met Jesus.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jeff had me connected with a couple of psychologists that went to the church. They had their own practice. And one of them was really cool. I mean, he gave me his private phone number. He says, you call me, I don't care what time of day, when it is, you can call me, I will meet you in the office and we'll talk. I mean, I had that kind of open communication with him. And that was so comforting to me because I was struggling, right? And so the other one I was using for my AA recovery stuff, you know, because I was going through recovery. I was doing my first, second, third, fourth step, and I'd written out this 20-some pages of grievances I had about my life, the harm, the hurt, the hang-ups, and all that stuff, and did a Saturday meeting with him that went on, I don't know, hours. And so we're going through these things one by one, and we'd go through them, and we'd talk about them, and then we'd scratch them off this yellow-lined paper. We got done with all of them. We went outside, and he took a match and lit it to the corner of this yellow-lined paper, and we stood there and watched the paper start to burn and just let it disappear. The smoke and the wind took it away, and it was this kind of cathartic thing, like, okay, they're gone, right? And he says, okay, he said, let's go back and pray about what happened. Well, this guy is one of those people that prays forever. And I thought, yeah, I'm good for 30 seconds here. And so this guy's two-hour prayer is probably going to wear me out. So I'm thinking, no, it's kind of late. I said, no, come on, we're going to pray. I'm going, well, I don't, I got other things. So he said, we're going to pray whether you want to pray or not. We're going to go. So reluctant to prayer, I went and sat down, and he started praying. And I remember actually going, I wonder how long this is going to go on, right? I'm just not like in it. And so he's praying, and all of a sudden, I hear nothing. It's silent, total silence. And I looked up, and Jesus was coming down with his arms stretched out. And right in front of me was a little baby. Jesus was coming for that baby. And I looked at the baby during this prayer. I said, that's me. Jesus is coming for me. And I'm a new baby. Jesus picked that baby up and held me in his arms. And he said, you will be safe with me forever. He disappeared. At that very moment, my life was redeemed and restored to Jesus Christ so that I could be here and talk to you today.
Wow, that's incredible. But I think what's really, really amazing is that you wouldn't have gotten to that moment if that church hadn't taken a risk.
Yeah.
You know, that because they had to have space for you to just be messy and just be who you were at that time, and trust that God was going to be the converter and the change agent.
Absolutely.
So you find healing, and as you're progressing in this, you make the decision at some point, it's time for me to go back to being Walt.
Yeah.
Can you give us that and just a little short?
Yeah, I was kind of getting there when we, you know, just before I met to do that Saturday thing, I was getting there. But, man, here's the thing that I realized is that when you clean up everything in your life and you give every ounce of everything that you got that you've been hanging on to Jesus, hold nothing back, which is what I did that day, he will come for you. He will come for you. He's waiting for you to clean up what you got and bring it to him. And that's what happened that day. And every one of us can have this. We can have this fantastic, amazing, powerful, redeemed and restored life in Jesus Christ if we give him everything and don't hold anything back. If you got something you're hanging on to, this is the day.
Yeah. Amen.
Today for you to give it up and come in relationship with Christ. This is it. This is your day.
Wow. Well, you had, going back to your childhood, you had the abuse, and you had all the troubling things that happened with your grandmother, parents, uncle. Then when you transitioned to being Laura, you lost your family.
Yeah.
You lost your job.
Yeah.
Became an alcoholic, or maybe you were already.
Yeah.
Homeless at one point.
Yeah.
And just at the ultimate pit of a disaster. And then this is what's so amazing about God, is that he can make your life today good and whole.
Yes.
Even though what has happened in the past did damage you in many ways physically.
Yeah.
And so he does it in a way that only he can do.
Yeah.
And I loved the story that you brought to me yesterday about how he's still at work.
Yeah.
God's still at work in restoring relationships that you've had. And you're just a great example of what Jesus Christ can do with someone. And so thank you so much for making yourself vulnerable. And when I'm 81, I want to be on a beach somewhere or on a mountain, not on a stage.
Well, you know, so, I like being right here. I'd rather be here than any place else today.
Well, thank you for doing that. As you can imagine, we've talked about the books, but he and his wife do run a website, sexchangeregret.com. That has millions of people go to it over the last 7 years. He's had tens of thousands of emails come in. He's every single day, someone is emailing them about wanting to detransition. And so you can imagine the weight of that. And you said you respond to every one of them.
Yes.
and you connect with them.
Yeah.
And some of them, it's a multi-year process that you go through with them. And so I know that's a lot of weight and everything that so we're going to pray for you, blessings over you guys, that y'all are strong, and they're going to go next weekend up to Denton. But before we do that, I want to pray with you and for you. And maybe some of you are watching online right now and you just were scrolling through Facebook and you saw this. That's no accident. God is speaking to you. And that moment that he had with the Lord, where the Lord came down, that moment is for every human being. God wants to make himself real and known to you in your own way. And it may not look exactly the way it did for Walt, but you're not living his story. You're living your story.
That's right.
And Jesus wants to come in contact with you. So if you're ready for that, why don't you pray with us? And in fact, I want to have Walt pray, lead us in prayer, and we're going to believe that this is a new day and a new season, and that God is going to make himself tangible, all right, and make the difference that only he can do. Because this idea of transitioning or transgender is just, I believe, the devil's way of a counterfeit Band-Aid.
Yep.
On something that really only God can make the difference.
That's right. Yeah.
And so why don't we pray now for people in many different places?
Yeah. Oh, Lord, we know you're here today. We know there's people in this room and listening today that are struggling with something, maybe not what I've struggled with, but they're struggling, whether it's pornography or infidelity, or regardless of what it is, it really doesn't matter. Redemption and restoration comes when we get on our knees, admit we're wrong, ask for forgiveness, and maybe even weep a little bit, as admit that we're broken. And only through your power and your grace can we be redeemed. And it isn't my story that you heard today. You heard Jesus' story.
Yes.
This is Jesus' story.
Yes.
Every last person that can hear my voice today can have a Jesus moment.
Yes. Yes.
He's waiting for you. He wants you. But he wants you to come with all your baggage and bring it to him and offload it. Because he's the guy. It's not going to happen any other way than through the power and grace of Jesus Christ. So if you've got something you're hurting with today, bring it to him. Unburden yourself.
Yes.
And give that to Jesus. Give it to Jesus and come face to face so you can look in the eyes of Jesus and realize you too have been redeemed today and restored to the power and grace of Christ. Amen.
Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you are new to Promised Land, we want you to know that this family, this church family, is longing to be a place, and I think we are in many regards, a place that is safe. Okay? This is a safe place for you to explore God and to find out who he is. Okay, so I want to let you, I want to dismiss you. You can go out to the book table. He's going to be out at the book table if you guys want to meet him, talk to him.
Thank you.